also follow your ways. And we thank you for all these things, for your word today as you anoint it and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that it is possible for us to see as God sees. See, God has a different vision. He has a different view. He has a perspective on every single thing in life in a way that brings good. Even the difficult times, even the sickness, even the things that we're praying for, Mike's life and David's life, all these that have received a miracle from God, God is using those things for his glory. How can we see those things in God's and through God's eyes so that in the process of those things, we see that he's bringing strength, he's bringing good out of it? Well, we've been talking about Joshua, and we know that Joshua was directed by God to do the things that he did. Joshua has now brought the children over Jordan, brought them from Egypt, over Jordan, and here they are approaching. And as we look today, we'll see that God is continuing to direct Joshua. Joshua is seeing through the course of events, seeing through the eyes of God, and we see the blessing that is coming and the fruit coming from that. We'll pick up today in Joshua 5, verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come.' Joshua fell on his face to the earth, worshipped, and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, and you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Joshua had success to bring them to this place. And notice that the promised land, that what God had promised to them, wasn't a matter of them just arriving and picking up the key. You say, well, God's promised it to them. Why wouldn't he? Okay, you've made it this far. You've done great. 40 years, it's been a long haul. You're here. You crossed Jordan. You've done all these good things. We talked about last week, the circumcision and our hearts being toward God and confirming our commitment to God. And now they're here at the point of Jericho where they're going to face a real battle. This is going to be a major obstacle. They didn't just simply pick up the key at the front desk. And so we see that Joshua was continuing to follow God and to listen to God. Notice that it doesn't matter where we are in life, it's very important that we continue to hear God and to see God and to follow God, no matter where we are. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, at my age, I'm learning this or learning that. Well, isn't that great? That in any age, every age, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, on up to 95 and 100 and over 100 years old, we can always learn something every single day. Isn't that great? And so God is teaching us every single day as we're following him. But there's more that God wants to show us as we see here in Joshua after all these years and the victories that Joshua has seen and experienced and taught and walked, that it's important for Joshua again to follow Christ. So as Joshua was approaching Jericho, the Amorites had set up Jericho as a front city for all the land and the cities that were following behind them. Jericho was set up as the front, the protector for these nations and land that inhabited the promised land. And so Jericho was the forefront. They were the front person. They were just over Jordan, the Jordan River, as they approached. And so these people, their plan was, if it was ever invaded, they had a perfect setup. They had a perfect setup to where there were actually 3 levels of walls, as best we can tell. They went over back in the, where they have several times over the years, but in the 1950s, they went over and and explored and kind of dug up what was there in Jericho, and they found that there were three layers of walls, and the total combination of these three walls was about 75 feet tall and about 6 feet thick. And so as we can see that as Joshua approached Jericho and this massive fortress that was around Jericho, it was going to take a lot more than what they had and what they were able to come up with. I mean, he could have had the best engineers, architects, and people to blow up things, but it was going to take an act of God for them to penetrate and to get through what God had already promised them. Notice that just because God promised it to you doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy, peasy path. You say, well, if God promised it, then it should be easy. He should just give it to me. As I said last week and the week before, there's always a sacrifice preceding the blessing. Always. Always a sacrifice preceding the blessing. So Joshua gets to Jericho and he sees the layout. Jericho is, the Bible says, heavily fortified and was a fortress. So Jericho was a force to be reckoned with. There was a lot there that they were going to face. So 40 years prior to this event, Moses had sent Joshua and Caleb in, part of the 12 spies. They were two of the 12 spies, had sent them in to spy out the land. And so they were there in Jericho. As a matter of fact, in Numbers 13:28, this is what Joshua and Caleb found. It says, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong." This is 40 years before. "The cities are fortified and very large." So Joshua knew that it was going to be major. This is going to be a major task and undertaking to take the land that God had promised them. And so we see the challenges that are lying ahead. The last thing that Joshua needed was his ideas or the ideas of the committee. You know, there's wisdom in counsel. There's wisdom in wise counsel. But unless God is in the midst of that, unless God's calling the shot, it's just ideas of man. And so the last thing that he needed or wanted or sought after was the idea of man. He wanted the idea of God. There are things that you're facing today. There are some walls that you're facing today that you're trying to think about on your own and trying to worry about and losing sleep over and all these things. Listen, we need the idea of God. We need God's focus. We need God's vision. We need God's eyes over that situation to lead you through that thing. We can't do it on our own. You can't do it. I can't do it. So Joshua knew that he needed more. He needed God's vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Now, I rarely pick up a verse from another version. But if you read this same scripture out of the Message Bible, which is real plain, but in Proverbs 29:18, this is the way it reads: "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." God is doing greater things. God is doing different things than what we see that he is doing. The word says if we can't see what he's doing, we say, well, I can't see what God is doing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we can see what God is doing. If we can see, if we can envision what God is doing, then it says as he reveals it, that we are most blessed as we see through the eyes of God. It's when we're limited. See, our vision is limited. We can only see what we see. We're not able physically to see beyond what we can see. We know that this is made of wood, okay? But what's behind that? What is God doing beyond what we can see? And so as we begin to develop a vision, develop insight from God, spiritually speaking, then we can see what God is doing. We can see events. We can approach events. We can do things in life that God is calling us to do. So seeing as God sees will always keep us one step ahead of our enemy. Seeing as God sees will always keep you one step ahead of your enemy. Why? Because God sees the current. He sees the past, but he also sees what's coming. As we're in line with what God sees and his vision and his word and his encouragement and his strength, as we just read, then we know that we can have the same spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? In you. The same spirit. So we can do the same things that Christ did because his spirit lives and dwells in us. That doesn't mean that we go off and just go out in left field and say, okay, I've got it. No, we only have it as we're connected to God. Our heart has to be connected to him. But God wants us to see through his eyes today. I assure you that God is working. You say, well, I understand that you're saying this for everybody, but you don't understand. God is not working. I don't see him working in my life. I assure you, as a child of God, as relying on God, I assure you that God is working. And God doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes when we leave him out of it. We make mistakes when we react and act based on our vision. But as we take on God's vision, we follow after him and we see that God makes no mistakes. And so there are things that we must do to develop spiritual vision. There are things that we need to do in order to develop our eyes to align with God's eyes. We'll always have physical eyes, but God himself can develop spiritual eyes in us so that we see things as he sees them. The first thing we must do is submit to him. Submit to God's purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. He has something that he's doing in and through our life. When he's done, we're done. When we go to heaven, we can say, you know what? God had me there for that time, and I did what I was supposed to do. But while you're here on earth, while there's breath in your body, there's a purpose for your life. Submit to God's purpose. We can fight against God's purpose. No, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't want to do that. Any number of reasons. But as long as we submit to God's purpose, see, that's something that Joshua had to do. He didn't feel it within himself that he would follow after Moses. Moses was Moses. Who could follow after Moses? Well, God called Joshua to do that. And so there were inhibitions. There was a submission that Joshua had to give to God in order for God to use him. We see that God did that, and he's doing that here. We've got to submit to God's purpose. As we see later in Joshua, the walls of Jericho did fall down. But what led up to that major miracle? See, Joshua 6 couldn't happen until Joshua 5 happened. We can't see the victory, we can't experience the victory until we do what God calls us to do. See, Joshua couldn't just come out and just run over the river and get over there and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here, I'm taking my city. No, he would have done things in his own strength, in his own intellect. But as he submits to God, and we'll see that Joshua sought God, Joshua submitted to God. And as he submitted to God, he saw these miracles happen. It wasn't of Joshua. It was from the obedience that Joshua had to God. Submitting to God's purpose is major. Submitting to God's purpose is never a downgrade. You say, well, my plans are so great and so grand. If I do things God's way, it's going to be all quiet and it won't happen like it's supposed to. No, God's ways is not a downgrade. God's ways are the best ways. And when we do things his way, it's always victorious. It's always great. It's always grand. It's always the very best. Because his ways are higher than our ways. And so on the front side of that, we don't see that. We say, well, if I do things this way, I know that things will work out. And God says, no, we need to do things this way. And so many times God calls us to do things that are against our grain. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel natural. It takes us after our comfort zone. And surely God wants me to stay in my comfort zone. It's never a downgrade. God's purpose always prepares us for victory. Let me say that again. God's purpose is to always prepare us for victory. Victory is ahead when we submit to God's purpose. And many times we see the devil in our life because we lack submitting to God's purpose. So how do you know that? Well, it says in James 4:7. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, period. What happens if we submit to God? We resist the devil and he will flee. You say, well, I don't feel him fleeing right now. The devil's not fleeing. Well, as we submit to God, we realize it's not our strength. We don't have to fight the devil. See, many times we fight the devil like we fight people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We're fighting against principalities and powers. The devil does use people, but we don't fight against people. We fight against the devil. And as we do that, we submit to God, and it's his strength that makes us victorious. You see the plan? You see the outlay? It's not complicated, but it's hard because we're human, and God is God. And God don't necessarily follow us. We must follow God. He doesn't say, okay, wait for me, I'm behind you. Wherever you go, I'll go. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? And so Joshua 5:13, as we read, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. He lifted his eyes and looked. Joshua had natural eyes. He had natural eyes just like we have. He lifted his eyes and looked. See, God wants to bless you in the natural, but you have to be seeing in the spiritual. The blessing may come material. You say, well, why was Joshua so bent on taking Jericho? He was materialistic. He wanted everything in Jericho. No, God promised him Jericho. God wanted him to be blessed materially. But notice the first thing that Joshua had to do. Joshua had to first submit to God. So it wasn't the things, we're going to get into this in a minute, wasn't the things that God wanted to bless him with as much as he wanted to bless Joshua with his spirit in Joshua. So there are some things that God will want to bless us with in the natural, and the only way to obtain it is through the spiritual. And so our eyes being lifted to God is important for our future. You say, well, God's not doing anything in my life. Well, we have been through times, Crystal and I have been through times, we just celebrated 37 years a few weeks ago. In our 37 years of time, there have been times where we didn't think God was anywhere around. He's left us, he's tired of us, we've made so many mistakes till he's done with us. And no, looking back, we see that he was working, we just didn't see him. And God wanted to bless us then, but you know what? God was more interested in getting our attention and getting our focus on him, and then he blessed us. Had he blessed us and said, okay, here's Jericho, here's the key, you go off and you have fun now. And then what would have happened? God who? Where's God? We've got everything we need. We don't need God. So God knows the best thing in our life. He knows that he needs to get us on track and get our heart toward him. Why? Because that's where our life is at. That's where our future's at. That's where our growth is at. You say, well, what about the pain? Well, sometimes growth has pain too. And so our eyes, Joshua's eyes, lifted to God. God was there again getting his attention and wanted to do something. We're going to see what happened here. Joshua was studying Jericho. He was looking in the physical. But Joshua left room for God to show him things in the spiritual, because he could only conquer Jericho as he saw things in the spirit. The eyes of Joshua needed to be developed where he saw things in the spirit so that God could do things in the natural. So God wants to bless you in the natural. He's put us here on earth. God wants you to have food. He wants you to have transportation. He's not the God that says, I'm going to strip you of everything. Now, Job had to go without everything, but you know what? That was a sacrifice before the blessing. Job was blessed. So everything in your life, God wants to give you. God wants to provide for you. He wants you to have an abundance of every good thing. That's the God we serve. He says an abundance of every good thing. And so on that path, God is most interested in us having our heart toward him. He's more interested in our eyes being developed to know that we are seeking him, that we're submitting to him, so that the path that he leads us down, we will know that it's by his hand and not mine. It's by his hand and not yours. It's by him bringing things together. Joshua was going to acquire Jericho, but he had to go through the battle and through this major obstacle before he got there. Did God want Joshua to have Jericho? Absolutely. It was a literal city. It was a city made of stone and brick, mortar, and all these things. God wanted to bless him with it. And behold, in Joshua 5:13, behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. The Bible says nothing about wearing a white robe. It doesn't say having special attire. Doesn't say anything, but I could see Joshua had an aha moment. He saw. He saw, and immediately the Bible says he fell on his face. Well, now, what's interesting too is that the man, notice capital M, I believe that was God. God was coming through that soldier. Wasn't dressed or didn't get the attention of Joshua like God himself would have had he shown up. But that was a conversation between God and Joshua. But the Bible says that he had a sword drawn as he was ready to fight. You never normally see a soldier with a sword drawn unless he was ready to fight. You don't normally run into a police officer with his gun drawn unless he's ready to use it. But the Bible says that this man stood opposite with his sword drawn in his hand. And at that very moment, I'm sure Joshua remembered, God told me to be strong and be courageous. My tendency is to be shy and to get in my comfort zone, but God told me to be strong and be courageous. So the first thing that Joshua did was fell on his face. And then Joshua, he said, are you for us or for adversaries? So Joshua just wanted a little confirmation. This is a little different here. So let me find out who you are. And the interesting thing is the way that he answered. Are you for us or for adversaries? You would think the answer would be for you, or for your adversaries. But this is what he said in verse 14. No. Let me see. Now, what did I ask him? His answer was no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. It's interesting how God answers us sometimes, isn't it? He knows how to get our attention. Joshua fell on his face on the earth, worshiped, and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? In that one phrase there, we see that Joshua's heart was to submit to God's purpose. In that one phrase, God, I submit to your purpose. What does my Lord say to his servant? God, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? God, this is really you. You don't look like God. Your camouflage is a little different than the last time I saw you, and that sword is a little different than the Bible that I'm carrying. But Joshua responded in that way. What does my Lord say to my servant? In other words, God, I'm on your side. His first question was, God, are you on my side? His response was, no. I'm commander, capital C. And so Josh says, Lord, I'm on your side. That's what's most important today, is that God knows that we're on his side. We don't have to go through life and saying, God, are you with me? God, are you with me? What our question should be is, am I with God? Am I with God? Am I walking with God? Am I committing to God? Am I submitting to God? Am I listening to God? Am I watching for God? Am I waiting on God? Am I doing what God has called me to do? That's our heart. That's what Joshua's heart was. God, what are you saying to me? What do you say to your servant? And pursuing Jericho was important, because that's what God promised Joshua to do. That was important, but what became most important was, God, I'm submitting to you. What Joshua was there to do was to take Jericho, but that became secondary to seeking God. See, our purpose in life should be secondary to pursuing God first. Our purpose in life, first and foremost, should be us committing to follow God in all of our ways. What is our priority? What is our priority? To do this, to do that, to make sure our family is doing what they're supposed to do. What other things take our eyes off of following God? What gets our attention? What's our priority in life? What do we focus on every day and put secondary as God? Okay, God, I'm going to pray. That way I can get this done, and I've got things I've got to do. So, Lord, lay me down to sleep. So we say a little prayer, and we're done, so we can go do the things we've got to do. But our top priority really needs to be God. To submitting to God everything. Submit to God everything that we are. God promises that he'll bless us as we make him our top priority. Second thing, to have spiritual wisdom comes by drawing closer to God's presence. To draw closer to God's presence. It's in his presence, you've heard me say before, it's in his presence that we get strength. In his presence we have fullness of joy. In his presence we have everything. It's in his presence, it's like plugging in an appliance and seeing that thing run. It's not going to run until you plug it in. We're not going to run. We're not going to operate. We're not going to fulfill our purpose until we plug into Christ, until we get in his presence. How can we live in God's presence all the time? Can't we take some time out and not be in God's presence? No. We need to always be operating in God's presence. No matter, we can work hard, we can have meetings, we can do all the things that we have to do daily, and remembering that we're always walking in God's presence, that we are in his presence, that we're walking, listening to his presence. We can have all the fun we want to have. There's not any less fun that you need to have, because, well, I can't have fun because God's with me. It's kind of like as kids, when we go to the mall And, well, if we can get away from mom and dad, we can go in this store. We can go in that store. We can go look at some games and not take God with you. Because God's all about fun, too. He created Mike Melvin, right? He created me. God's all about fun. He's all about a sense of humor. God made us. I remind Crystal all the time, God made me like he made me. I'm kidding. That's not an excuse. Dwelling in God's presence, drawing closer to him. Joshua 5:15 says, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, this is what he said, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And so Joshua did. Now, isn't that interesting? You just said that God wanted to bless us, and now God's taking the sandals. No. Why did he want the sandals off his feet? So that he would be even closer to him. That piece of leather that was separating Joshua and God, it was a symbol of how we allow things in our life sometimes to come in between us and God. Take the sandal off. Take that thing out of the way. The smallest thing, the Bible talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. So sometimes we have some little things in our life that just hold us back just enough to where we can't see things God's way. We can't see through the eyes of God because we're so off. So like when I was a kid, we had the little 5-horsepower Briggs and Stratton motors on the back of that go-kart. And that little plug, if there was any trash, I mean, it was just the tiniest bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Pull that plug out of there and clean it up a little bit, brush it off, and just dip it some gasoline and put that thing back in that go-kart and fire it up. And, man, it ran like a champ. But you let any kind of trash or anything get in there, the smallest piece to cause that fire not to fire like it's supposed to. I mean, it was just a fraction. But the smallest thing could prevent it from firing and running like it was intended to. Same thing with our life. A sandal can stop you from experiencing God's presence. That's why I said, take the sandals off. You're on holy ground. Did you know that you're always walking on holy ground? Every foot that your foot is placed, every place that you put your foot is an anointed place of God because God is in you. And he wants you to know that we need to separate ourselves from anything that hinders us from hearing God. Separate ourselves from anything that hinders us from. Now that doesn't give you an excuse to go home and say, honey, he said to separate, so get in your room and I'm getting into mine. Now don't take it out of proportion here. So God will work on us and he'll develop things in our life so that we can deal with people. You know, one guy said, he said, I just don't like to go to church because all the imperfect people are there. You know, here we are. We're all imperfect people. We all need God. We all need one another. I need you. You might need me. So we all work together. We all need God. We all need him in our life. But we need to remove that simple thing, that little thing that separates us from God. God wants us to be close to him. He wants us to walk with him so that we can hear him and he can hear us. And so God is speaking to Moses, take the sandals off because you're standing on holy ground. God spoke the same thing to Moses. Remember at the burning bush? He told Moses, take those sandals off. Sometimes we're concerned about, God, if I don't have that in my life, what will I do? I'm attached to that. That could be part of what is hindering us from God's presence. It's a place of awareness. God wants us to be aware of his presence. Did you know that the soil there may have been rocky? The soil there may have had pieces of rock and a little bit rugged, and when he took the sandals off, he could feel the ground. He had a more sensitivity to where he was standing. There was more of an awareness of where he was standing. He felt things a little differently without the sandals on. God is doing that in our life. He wants us to be more sensitive to his presence. He wants us to be more aware of his presence because he is always with us. He wants us with him. And God's presence is key to our victory. God's presence was key to Joshua's victory. Joshua would not have experienced the victory unless he walked in the presence of God. So God's presence sensitizes us to seeing God's purpose, and we need that. And so conquering your obstacle, Joshua conquering the obstacle, was key to his attention to God's presence and following. Not saying, well, I've got it from here, God. You can go on and talk to Miss Smith. I've got it. No, we need him all the way. We need him all the way. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so God is trying to give us a spiritual solution to our physical problems. You can't answer a physical issue, a physical problem, and try to conquer it in the physical. There's a spiritual answer to every physical issue. All of life answers come through the spiritual realm of God. That's why it's important that we seek God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Wow. There's so much through the Spirit, man, and understand that this doesn't come by only one way. This comes by only one way, and that is to be connected to God. People run out and get books. They get so off track till it pulls them away from God's presence. They're seeking after a movement or a place that is totally far from God. As I said before, we get in some realms when you speak spiritually. That's a common word these days, spiritual. And so the spiritual that I'm speaking of is found in the Word of God, and it comes by Him filling us with His presence. The spirit of the world is when we get alone and we get quiet and we empty ourselves. So God is not calling us to come up empty, to empty ourselves. He's calling us to fill ourselves with Him. There's a difference. And as long as we're filling ourselves with Him, which is out of the Word of God, that is where God wants us to be. Not made of things which are visible, Hebrews 11:3 says. And third, the last, spiritual vision comes as we believe God's promise. As we believe God's promise, not acknowledge it, we read it and say, okay, yeah, that's a promise of God right there. Yep, Joshua, he's going to get Jericho one day. And we just think of God's promises as something far off, as something in la-la land, as something one day maybe for that person or that person. No, God's promises are for God's people. And we need to believe God's promises. What do we believe? Our actions will show what we believe. Our actions, my actions will show what I believe. Because my actions will either, it's kind of like what Elder John was talking about a while ago. You say, well, I need to hold on to this, like the lady that baked the cake in the Old Testament. I need to hold on to this. I'm going to need this for a rainy day. I'm going to need this just before we die. So I want to cook my own cake. You get somebody else to cook your cake. And so sometimes we hold on to the very thing that God wants us to release so that He can bless us. But if we believe God's promise, then my action to do my part in that will cause God to bless me. You say, well, why does God have to have me to do my part so that He can do the miracle? It's our obedience. Our obedience to God releases God's hand of blessing in every part of our life. So there's a sacrifice. We don't have to go out and kill an animal. Okay, I've laid the lamb on one's fire pit out there, so now God's going to bless me because I made a sacrifice. It's not a physical sacrifice. It's us going against what we want. It's going against our priority to make God our priority. That's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice in that we lay our own wants and desires down so that God will in turn bless us. And when He blesses us, remember last week I gave the testimony of the lady she made a huge sacrifice back last year, and God in the recent weeks rewarded her 100 times over. Well, God didn't have to have that just to put it together to say, okay, I've got it. Here you go. Roll it off the side right here. There you go. It's right in your lap. No, God, I had it already prepared, but He was waiting on the sacrifice to be made so that He could bless. He knew that her heart, their heart, this family's heart was where it should be. That's the way He does in our life every single day. Our obedience releases God's promise, And what we believe, we act on. Our belief is found by our actions. Joshua 6, in the first two verses of Joshua 6, now Jericho was securely shut up. Well, now that's the fact of the story. We're looking at the facts. The facts are that it was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out of the city and none came in. All right, so that's the facts in verse 1. The fact is it's securely shut up. Oh, brother, we need to go back home. They're prepared for us. But then God said this in verse 2. He said, Joshua, see. Well, isn't that an amazing word to start off an instruction with? See, I have given you Jericho into your hand. Well, now, if Joshua's looking in his physical eye, he'd say, well, it doesn't look like to me you've given me Jericho's over there. It's on the other side of the wall. It doesn't look like to me that you've given it to me. God, are you mistaken? And so Joshua's looking at his physical eyes, seeing the facts here, but God was speaking spiritually to him, reminding him of the promise, and was speaking spiritually. So Josh could have stuck with what the facts were, or he could have believed the truth that God said to him the truth was, contrary to the facts. The truth is, I've given you the Jericho into your hand. It's king and the mighty men of valor. Josh saw the city securely shut up. God said, I've given you the city. Who's right? Yes. They're both right. But the truth always wins over facts. Always. Fact and truth are contrary. Physically, it looks like nothing has changed. Spiritually, everything has changed. Spiritually, God is putting everything together. That's why he needs you. That's why he needs you. That's why he's using you. That's why the devil wants you just as bad as you want collard greens and roast beef tomorrow night. Not today. So God wants you. God wants you to be blessed. And the devil wants you distracted and your eyes somewhere else and peeled off somewhere. Well, that's not going my way. I'm gone. That's not going my way, I'm gone. That's not going my way, I'm gone. And so we get distracted, all caught up in things rather than following God. And so everything is changing. If we begin to look at the situation through the eyes of God, we see everything's changing. We don't see with our physical eyes everything's changing. That wall is still there. And I know that if I scale that wall, if I can somehow scale that 75-foot wall 6 feet deep, if I can scale it, I'm going to have to deal with some spears, knives, and everything else they can throw at me and take my life. But if we do things God's way, God has another plan. He was going to give them the city, but it wasn't the old traditional customary way to be gotten, was it? It was totally different. It was God's way. And so we've got to see that God wants truth, wants us to believe to the point that we act in truth, not act in facts. There's a world of difference. As we pray, the Bible says we believe. And when we pray and we believe, what? We receive. So our believing is the answer to us receiving. Come together and pray. We say, well, I've prayed and I've prayed and prayed. Have you ever prayed? We've probably said this. I've prayed and I've prayed and prayed and nothing has changed. I'm just through praying. God doesn't hear me. I'm tired of praying because nothing's changed. But if we believe what the Word says, the truth says, he says that you have victory. Well, God, if I've got victory, I'd love to see a glimpse of it. That's where we are as humans. God, just give me some sort of picture of that victory because it is nowhere around here. God says, I've given it to you. So we've got to believe. We've got to believe. God has never failed. We pray, we believe, and we receive. We ask, we seek, we knock. And what happens after that? The door's open. Well, look at there. We ask, we seek, we knock, and the door is open. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. We can't base our hope on what we see. We base our hope on the truth that we know. We stand on the truth. We stand on God's word. And he promised that it will be yours. We want a timeline. I like a timeline. That way we have a deadline. We know that on April 3rd, everything will be fixed. It'll be done. So we can hold out till April 3rd. Let's hold out. Because we don't have a timeline. We don't have a deadline. God says, believe and trust me, it'll be yours. And so we go against the grain of basing our actions on what we know and the facts rather than God's word. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he, what? Believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That verse has been in your Bible all these years. Joshua believed. Joshua had faith. He did so much to the point that he went back to those people and recited what God told him. That takes a lot of faith. God says that, okay guys, y'all listen. Gather up. Put the chicken leg down. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go there, and each day we're going to march around this wall one time. Then on the seventh day, we're going to march around it seven times, and the walls will fall. Any questions? So Joshua had to believe what he just said. Did he have any proof of that? No. And unless those people were hearing from God, they thought he fell off a truck. They were seriously concerned for Josh because he was saying something that there was no proof to say. That's just like God. God is telling you something today based on the truth of his word, assuring you that you're good. You don't see it yet, but you're good. He's got everything in his hand if you'll believe him that he's going to do it. We've got to fire up our faith. We've got to get some stuff out of the way. We've got to trust him that he's got this. He's strong enough. He's big enough. He's awesome enough that there's nothing that's going to deter him from doing his work in your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. It's truth. It's truth. He says he'll do it. And so we've got to be careful what we speak. Are we speaking doubt and fear? Well, that's not believing the truth. Are we speaking strength and encouragement? That is believing truth. Are you saying everything is hunky-dory in my life from now on? No. There's still some battles to fight. But you know what? God is your strength. God is your courage. And he says you will have the victory if you believe. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Come on up. I had sure planned to read the first five verses of Joshua 6 again. But know that God is going to bring about everything he told you he's going to bring about. He did it in Joshua. Joshua did what God told him to do. It doesn't make sense physically. Elder John, it doesn't make business sense sometimes, does it? It doesn't make sense physically. It doesn't make sense in our eyes. But God's plan works. God's plan is successful. Joshua had to believe. Believing speaks God's promise. Believing speaks God's word. Believing speaks God's goodness. Do you believe? Do you believe? Wow. If we're believing, we're seeing, and we're hearing, and we're speaking God's word, God is going to bring these things about. You'll shock yourself at the words that you speak because God says to speak it. But you know what? Speak it anyway. Faith speaks action. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What does the word of God say? That's the roadmap. That's the end result right there. If the word of God says it, believe it. If the word of God says it, it's going to be done. If God promised it, it will happen. Victory is yours. Not because your name is so-and-so or so-and-so, but because of whose you belong to. You're a child of God. He speaks a spirit into you. We've just got to be the receptor of it. God, do your thing in my life. Pour into me more life, more blessing. But we've got to speak his word. Be careful what you study. Be careful if you're studying your Jericho to the extent that it's taking your attention off of God, you're studying your subject too much. Study God. Don't let your attention be on your obstacle. Let your attention be on God. Amen? So Joshua's attention was on God. Yeah, he had to conquer Jericho. Well, buddy, you better study that. Well, he knew what he had. He knew what he had to do, but he studied more God. He made God the priority rather than the obstacle. Remember this. Make God your priority, not the obstacle. God says he'll do it. He promised he'll do it, and he's going to do it. Believe that he will do it today. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team. I'll pick up where I left off this week, next week. I'm going to ask the worship team to sing. And I want to invite you, if you need to come up here and just lay some things down and say, God, I'm here. I want to release this thing. There's some things that some of you are carrying on your